This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Johannes Hart from Reinhold Hart and Holger Bright from Manfred Bright. How are you guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
How are you?
Excellent. You're Holger. Say hello, Holger.
Hello.
And say hello, Johannes.
Hello.
Excellent. We're actually in the Mosel at the moment, and to be in particular, where are we? We are
in Peaceport.
Peaceport, and we've been just looking around the vineyards at Goldtropfen. Excellent. We thought we'd just talk a wee bit about Goldtropfen and about the Mosel in general. But what exactly is Goldtropfen, you know, from your point of view? Because you guys are both producers on the Goldtropfen.
The Goldtropfen is an area here on the hill in Peaceport, and it's one of the best wine areas here in the Mosel Valley, and it's one of the most popular ones in Germany.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit unusual in that it looks like an amphitheatre type thing. Is that sort of the idea? And it seems to be generally facing south.
Yeah, it's exactly south-facing and Susie amphitheatre character. It's really red-protected and quite a unique character in the whole area, in the whole Mosel region, truly, and making quite unique wines.
Why?
It's very ripe wines, which is quite unusual for the Mosel. Mm. But at the same time, it keeps its elegance, which is so typical for the Mosel, producing quite rich wines.
We went for a bit of a wander around the vineyards, about 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, and by gosh, they're steep, aren't they?
Yeah, you get used to it when you're working in it.
Yeah, you guys kindly took us up on a monorail. I think it was a monorail. We got to the top, and then it started sliding back down. I jumped off, and the poor old guys had to walk back up.
You get used to it, but you should be careful with your step. So you might fall, and if you stumble, you might hurt yourself, and Nobody wants that.
Do you have many accidents out here?
Not with the locals. Tourists.
People who don't know, they haven't got feet like mountain goats. One of the things about the Mosel, and particularly the Goldtropfen, is perhaps the soils. What sort of soils do you guys have?
We have slate soil here, which is quite rare and regarded as one of the finest soils if you want to produce high-quality wines. So you have, for example, you have some in the Portugal in Douro Valley, and it makes a very fine mineral character to the wines.
Mm, it's the acidity and the minerality, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a combination of both, and with added fruit, it makes huge complex wines, and especially long-living wines.
Yeah, I really notice that minerality. It seems to play a lot with the acidity, which is quite interesting. I think I can now tell the difference between Rieslings grown on slate and Rieslings grown on other soils. Anyway, quartz. I was at the VDP tasting yesterday, and I was really picking out the differences between the two, which was quite surprising. You know, my palate's all right, but I didn't think it was quite that good. So the soils themselves, they seem to be slate. Is it all slate all the way through the vineyard?
It's definitely mostly slate. It's made up, like, say, 95% slate, added with small parts of quartz. So really, just a little bit. But it's truly 100%, close to 100% slate.
Okay, and how many people are in the Goldtropfen? Because one of the weirdest things I have trouble getting my head around is you've got a single vineyard, but it's divided up into a load of different people.
We talked about it earlier in the car. It is quite difficult to say the actual number of the people who own property in the Goldtropfen area, because some small families do, but it's about 200 people who own property here.
And if they grow the grapes in the Goldtropfen, they can put that on the bottle, can't they?
Yes, yeah. That's what you put on the bottle, that's what you're proud of.
I'm still trying to get my head around these naming conventions in Germany, but so it seems to be that, you know, you say Riesling, and then you can say the vineyard that it's from. Is that correct?
Yes.
Even though the vineyard can be divided up into hundreds of producers making hundreds of different wines, and you have your own producer name on there as well, which I find that quite confusing. I'm used to sort of, you know, Spire Valley, New Zealand, Sauvignon Blanc sort of thing, and to have like the name of the vineyard and then the name of the producer as well, it's just a wee bit different for me. I know it's a bit common in Burgundy as well.
The quantity we produce is a lot smaller than big cooperatives. I mean, we're just small family businesses usually, and we produce what we can do with local stuff, local staff. We don't have any big employees. We just own small properties, and then we produce just the essential what we can do from these small areas.
Do you know what sort of average hectare or acreage that people have?
A good average is always if you have in between 5 and 6 hectares of vineyards.
Yeah.
To make a good living out of it.
To make a living, you need 5 to 6 hectares.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the value of the land? How much do you pay per hectare?
See, that's what I was saying earlier. We're small. And if you buy fields, we don't calculate in hectares. We calculate in square meters. So the price for 1 square meter is about around about 20 euros.
20 euros. So what does that work out to be a hectare?
1 hectare is 10,000 square meters.
So a hectare is about 200,000 pounds.
Euros.
Euros.
Yeah.
200,000 euros. So you need about €1 million to get a plot of land that's sustainable?
If you want to start from scratch, buy the fields, you also need a house, you need a cellar. So this, most of the families own it for years and years, so you own most of it, but you always have to focus on the future and invest in the company. The still existing part should be more improved over the years.
How did it become so fragmented? Is it like Burgundy with the Napoleonic inheritance laws, or
it's exactly this thing that it was always inherited to the children and split up between the children of the former owner? So we ended up sometimes, and because in former times they had very big families, so my property was split up between my grandparents into by 7 children. So our property comes from a far bigger estate formerly, and today it's become much smaller. We are trying to increase size again, but of course it takes time.
Yeah, sure, and it's quite expensive, the lands. Obviously, because you're south-facing, you get a load of sun, and the hills are so steep, so you must get a lot of energy from the sun hitting the grape varieties. But what is the climate in Mosul like? Would you consider it continental? Would you consider it maritime? Probably not maritime.
Probably during the summertime, yeah, it's pretty much maritime. But we have mild winters and usually very hot summers. Mm. So temperatures in the 30s and mid-30s are quite easily reached. What also comes to our climate, to the small microclimate in the vineyards, is again the soil. The slate soil or the slates are heating up during the daytime. So usually it's kind of a heating system. They're heating up to 50 degrees Celsius. And this heat they give away during the night. So even... yeah, after dark, you can have a nice walk through the vineyards. You also have the reflection of the river. The gold traption areas are located on the bottom of the hill, so all the sunshine is reflected from the river.
Yeah, that's the Mosul River.
Yes. And so you have pretty much great climate for the wine growing.
Fantastic. One of the things we noticed when I was walking through the vineyard was that you seem to have 3 different ways of trellising the vineyards. You've got double goyette, where you've got the trunk, and then you've got 2 spurs of wood coming off, and then another system where they seem to be in a heart-shaped, for some reason, and tied together. And the third seemed even stranger. It was like a big black round steering wheel that the vine was growing out of. What are those 3 methods, and what's the idea behind them?
Yeah, the heart-shaped is a very traditional system that was used for centuries. Today, it's a little bit out of fashion. It's not regarded as the highest quality system, producing high yields, not the best balance in the wine for fruit and leaves. Then the new... how do you call it?
I call it a black steering wheel.
Yeah.
It looks like a tractor steering wheel to me.
Then the new steering wheel system, so-called. It's a new invention. It comes actually from the idea of this old traditional system, because it's a single-post system. You can work very easily. All the handwork is done in the vineyard very easily, because you don't have to go each row up and down again, which is, of course, true for the wire-trailing system.
Oh, yeah,
which is, of course, much harder
work. The hills.
And so you go sideways through the vineyard.
So it's easier on the
work. It's
the
much easier to work, too. Yeah, and yeah. The new training system, it's a little bit better in canopy management. It's better balance between fruit and leaves.
I was talking to Holger earlier, and you were saying that you lose 20 pounds in the summer working the vineyard.
Yes, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it looks like you've been working pretty hard over winter, though, to keep that up. Get your body. You don't want to fade away, do you?
No.
It's all the sausages that you've been eating.
No, loads of wine.
Is it wine?
Yeah,
wine
and... The living with wine is also enjoying everything. It's not only the wine itself. You're enjoying the food with the wine, you're enjoying cheese. You get out a lot. You've got lots of opportunities just to focus on the enjoyment of life.
Mm.
It's all coming with wine.
Yeah, and you don't need to go to the gym because you're up and down the hills all the time.
Yeah, my belly is big. My legs, it's pure muscles.
Yeah. Okay. I won't look.
Trust me.
What sort of system do you have? The wines, the grapes on the wires, or which system do you use?
We have 95% on the wires.
And so up and down the hills.
Have you
thought about removing them and using this new steering wheel type contraption so you can go side to side and maybe not lose as much weight over summer?
Quality-wise, the wire system is still the best, from my personal point of view.
Yep.
And with this trio wheel system, it's not the worst quality you can harvest, but it's not the best effect that you can have.
Yeah. I think one of you guys was saying earlier that it's useful, makes the vineyard work a wee bit easier as well in terms of pruning and all that sort of stuff.
It's less intensive work, and you just prune them once and that's fine, and after then. The only good thing, which I personally see it, is that the grapes are lying on top of this wheel. And we got a lot of sunshine, so you've got a very nice flavor in the grapes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only positive effect.
Pease Porter itself, Gold Troptions on the side hill of Pease Porter, the town of Pease Porter. Pease Porter, when I told some guys in the office that I was heading up to Pease Porter, they were going, oh no, lots of really bad wine. Pease Porter itself doesn't always have as good a reputation as maybe Golden Troption. Would that be fair enough? I'm almost getting evils from you now.
No, unfortunately, it's true. It's very true that in the past, Pease Porter hasn't had the best reputation in bigger markets. Everybody who came to Pease Porter over years and years knew that we have very high qualities here. But unfortunately, some of the people sold the wines to bigger wineries, and they were responsible to giving a bad reputation to the wild world outside of just pure sweet plum wines.
Yeah, like Liebe or...
Unfortunately, yeah. You won't find a bottle of this in Germany, but that's a weird thing.
Can you still buy it overseas?
Yeah.
Are the grapes grown in Pease Porter, or is it just named Pease Porter?
It's growing around the area of Pease Porter, which is today you're allowed to name your wines Pease Porter in quite a big area. So Pease Porter itself today has maybe 300 hectares of vineyards, but actually the area you're allowed to name it Pease Porter, it's about 1,300. So it's far bigger, and that's... big problem today, and yeah, working on it, solving it, but it takes a lot of time.
And Holger, you've got grapes in the Golden Troption, and you've also got grapes on the other side of the river, on the flatter land on the other side of the river.
Yes.
What's the difference between the two areas?
As we said earlier, here you harvest just pure quality on slate soils.
It's all Riesling?
And it's all Riesling, and it's all very intensive work. While on the other side, we have more clay soil, some gravel soil, and there you harvest different kind of wine, earthier, Rieslings, some other varieties like Müller-Thurgau. Those grapes are planted more on the other side. So, but there you can use machines, which make work less intensive than here on the steep hills.
I was talking to one of the guys I came out here with, and he seemed to indicate that the top end of wines coming out of Pease Porter, not a problem, everything's fine. The cheaper end of the scale, the flat area, not a problem as well, because the wines aren't as good a quality, but you can machine harvest, as you're saying. But the middle ground, where you're still on quite steep slopes, and but you're not getting all the sunshine that perhaps you get in the Golden Troption, that's quite hard for people to make it work. We were talking, actually, Holger, weren't we? And you've actually grubbed up some vines and sold the land.
Yes.
What was the reason for that?
It was hard work in this hill working there. It was facing the east, so you had no sunshine in the afternoon anymore. It was just average quality, and it doesn't make any sense working intensively on getting a high quality product if nature says you cannot have it. So if you're just producing average quality with high effort, it doesn't pay off at the end. And it's not worth putting such a wine on the market. That's one of the reasons why areas have problems with their reputations. If you produce average quality, you can't make a good name out of it. And so I was saying I'd rather sell it probably to somebody else who doesn't make any wine there anymore and leave it like this and just keep up the name.
Yeah. Effectively, you removed the vines and it was sold off not as a vineyard at all?
No.
Okay, and that worked quite well for you, at least. Yes. It was. Yep. And now you're probably, instead of losing 20 pounds, you only lose 15.
That's true.
It's a bit rude, sorry about that.
I can cope with that.
Okay. How's Pease Porter and Golden Tropshire? What do you think the future is for you guys?
Future looks good. In our opinion, we are experiencing new markets, a lot of interest lately of many people around the world, and more and more recognize what quality is grown here, again, so to say. The longevity of the wines, the purity and opulent flavor of the wines here in Pease Porter, it's quite unique and makes these wines so special.
I noticed when we were wandering around the vineyard, there's Golden Tropshire, and then there seems to be another vineyard right in the middle of the Golden Tropshire called the Dumer. What's going on there? Why is it so different to Golden Tropshire?
It's at the foot of the vineyard, of the Golden Tropshire vineyard, and so, of course, you have some kind of erosion throughout these years, centuries, actually. The Golden Tropshire is planted with wines for nearly 2,000 years now. It was actually planted already by Roman viticulture. So the Dumer at the very foot of the Golden Tropshire has accumulated a lot of fine slate soil down there, so the soil is richer, produces even stronger wines than the Golden Tropshire. Maybe not as fine, but richer in character and so different, and that's why there's a different name for it, of course.
Okay. All right, then. I think I'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time, guys.
You're welcome.
You're always welcome. And peaceful.
Cheers very much.